As we work our way through the Easter season, we always get to the fourth Sunday as Good Shepherd Sunday. And this gospel is proclaimed on this Sunday every year. So we start out with the resurrection appearances and Jesus' command to be witnesses to this, to the resurrection. And then we get to today where we have the Good Shepherd and there's mention of the Spirit. And then we end, of course, in a few weeks with Pentecost, the sending of the Spirit. But, you know, the resurrection and Pentecost are really one moment in the same way that the Son and the Spirit are one God with the Father. And so we separate them out as 50 days, but actually it's kind of like one moment. The resurrection and the sending of the Spirit is the same motion, really, because the resurrection is not just something that happened to Jesus, but also that happens to us. This is not something in Jesus to be admired, but to be participated in, to join. And so the Good Shepherd leads the flock into the green pastures of eternal life. And sheep cannot be driven. You may have seen movies where a sheepdog is running around driving the sheep, but the dog runs back and forth in a frenetic exhaustion because the sheep just scatter. When you drive cattle, they tend to hang together as a herd, and so you can drive them. But when you try to drive sheep, they just scatter in every direction. Sin scattered the sheep at the beginning. You know, in the beginning, everything was one with God. Everything was in union with God, but sin drove humans in every direction, symbolized by the Tower of Babel, you know, the separation of languages and cultures and races and all of this scattering, this division is the result of sin, and death is the result of sin. So Jesus, in conquering death, in rising from the dead, brings the sheepfold back into one. And this is, of course, a gradual process. It's been going on for 2,000 years already. We don't know how much longer this is going to take before the end. But St. Paul has this wonderful vision of everything emanating out from God and then returning to God in the end. And all this happens in Christ. That first reading, Peter in his sermon to the Jewish leaders says, there is no other name given by which we are to be saved. Christ is he's the cornerstone, rejected by the builders. The builders are the Jewish leaders, the bad shepherds over generations who have led people astray rather than gathering them into one flock. And so St. Peter quotes Psalm 118, which was our responsorial psalm for today. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. So they made a mistake. And in many ways, God doesn't hold them responsible in the same way that Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. In other words, this wasn't necessarily overt sin, but it was more like a mistake. And so Peter tries to tell them that you've made a mistake here. You thought that you were rejecting this useless stone, and it actually was the cornerstone. Now, St. Paul had a similar kind of conversion. He was an enemy to the Christians, and he thought he was doing God's will by gathering them up and sending them to prison, and some of them were even condemned to death. Paul later considers himself responsible for their deaths. And he said, I made a mistake. I thought I was following God's will. I thought I was doing the right thing, and it turns out I was doing the wrong thing. And so Paul gives credit to his salvation, not because he got it right, but because he got it wrong. And he was humble enough to recognize his mistake. Okay, in the case of Peter here, the chief priests and the elders, they don't take that correction. They just dig in and become more obstinate, and so the faith moves beyond them. But you might recall that there's another text in the Acts of the Apostles where Peter addresses a large crowd, not the elders, but the ordinary Jewish people. And he tells them about the mistake they've made. You, the author of life, he says, you hung upon a tree. You killed the author of life. And they say, so what should we do? And Peter says, be baptized and believe in his name. And they do. Thousands converted that day. So the sheep have a certain responsibility to recognize the new direction that the good shepherd is leading them into. Now, in the gospel, Jesus says, there are other flocks, not of this fold, that I have to shepherd. And there he's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about all those people who have not heard of the name yet, all of those who, for various reasons of obstinacy or ignorance or whatever, have not yet come into the fold. But Jesus' mission from the death and resurrection 2,000 years ago until the end is to intercede for us in that great liturgy of the kingdom, gradually assuming everything in creation unto himself so that he can hand it over to the Father and God will be all in all. In other words, one flock. One shepherd, one flock. That's the goal. That's the end result of all this. But it's already begun now. And so we have that second reading from the first letter of St. John. Brothers and sisters, we are God's children now. What we later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, this is already, we're already children of God. We've been brought back into the fold, into the family of God, reconciled once and for all by the cross and resurrection and the descent of the Spirit. That's such an important text that it finds its way into our funeral liturgy. At the end of the Eucharistic prayer, the priest always says that, quoting almost verbatim from that first letter of St. John, talking about the deceased, what we are now is children of God. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that we shall see him as he is, for we will be like him. That text is in the funeral liturgy. It's a central belief of ours, isn't it? That that the kingdom is already ushered in. It's not in its final fulfillment yet, but it's already in process. And we're on that journey. We are on the way to those green pastures. And we're getting some good food even now. And the good food that we're getting now, it may not be the perfect green pasture of the future, but we're already getting it. And what is that? It's the Eucharist. It's his body and blood. It's the invitation to divine life now. It's eating and drinking him so that he comes into us and we go into him. We get transformed into a share in divine life. And it doesn't wait until that distant future. It's already available to us now if we will just access it, if we will just say yes, if we will trust in the Good Shepherd and follow him.